Take the Word of God tonight and turn to the book of John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Now, we're dealing here with the four pillars of masculinity. There are four pillars which the Father represents that holds the home up. First, there is that steward. As a steward, he is the manager over the home. Then, as a soldier, he is the man of the home. He's the man of the home. We dealt with that this morning as well. And tonight, we see the third and fourth one, and the third one is the main one we're going to zero in on. The shepherd, he has a mission in the home. And the fourth one, he is a minister, the sanctuary. He's the one where, boy, I can run to and get all the help I need because he is a minister for the home. And we're going to see that remember our Lord has three offices. What are they? Prophet, priest, and what? Those three offices are the same three offices that the Father has in the home. We're going to see that in a few moments. Father, I'd ask that you would take what we're say tonight for your glory and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as a shepherd, he has a mission in the home. And when I come to this 10th chapter, we find here the discourse on the Good Shepherd. I believe there are some principles in there for us to follow. I like to take that word shepherd, S-H-E-P-E-R-D, that word shepherd, and I like to take each letter, and I would take that letter and then make an acrostic with that name and take each letter, because as a shepherd, he has a mission in the home. First of all, that letter S, he sacrifices for the sheep. He sacrifices for the sheep. Look down there, all the way down to verse 11. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd what? Giveth his life for the sheep. And far too many fathers have sacrificed their homes on the altar of achievement. They're too busy and they've sacrificed their home on the altar of worldly achievement instead of sacrificing for the family. And you will either sacrifice for your family or you will sacrifice your family. I can tell you I know too many fathers have literally sacrificed their family on the altar of achievement, some goal that they have, some position, possessions. We were in Canaan land, and what's the name of the lake we were on yesterday? We're on this lake, and we saw these beautiful homes. I was told those homes are $1 million for a lot. Then they got a build on that, and there were probably $20-30 million homes on there. And as I looked at those homes, I said to myself, well, that's okay, I guess. But I think if that is, that's their goal, they're in trouble. I'm not suggesting that God may not give you a nice home. I just question whether we need a $30 or $40 million home to live in. Sacrifices, they sacrifice their home on the altar. He said here, a good shepherd, what does he do? He giveth his life. What? For the sheep. He will do whatever it takes to make sure that his family has what is properly needed in the things of God. He's going to sacrifice for the family, not sacrifice the family. And so I suggest to you that first letter is so vital. He sacrifices for the family. Then H, he handles the sheep with love. Look there again. In verse 11, when he says, I am the good shepherd. You know what a good dad is? A good dad's one who loves his children. And that word love, you know, I'm glad when God said, you know, when I find people say, well, I love him, but what are you doing for him? Because the Bible word for love is a word of what? Action. And I draw your attention to that word love because it's absolutely important because he says, I am the good shepherd, the good father, He loves his family. Now get this for me. Will you write this down? Love plus discipline results makes a happy, healthy child. Get that. Love plus discipline makes a happy, healthy child. Love without discipline makes a brat. You know what a brat is, don't you? That's B-R-A-T. That's the benefactor of relaxed adult training. That's a brat. And I want to tell you something. I know some brats in churches. Dr. Beach and Mrs. Beach will know somewhat what I'm talking about, but there was a lady in our church, wonderful lady, but all of a sudden her daughter had two children out of wedlock, and one of them was so beautiful, little Kylie, was so beautiful, there's no question in my mind she could have modeled clothing for little children. She was absolutely beautiful. And I remember one day when she was acting up, there, and I said to Phyllis Ozer, not Beach, I said, Phyllis, that seems to me that little child might need a spanking. She said, no one touches her. Two years later, she shot those children to death, including herself. And the child was only 5 or 6 years old and shot her to death. And shot herself. She was so enamored with that child. What was the problem? She said, I love them. No. She was possessed by them. She was addicted to them in a sense, in a very warped way, but she really didn't love those children. Because when you love minus discipline will equal a brat. Get this. Love plus discipline, what a happy, healthy child. Love minus discipline is a brat. And discipline minus love is child abuse. It doesn't always have to be physical, but I remember Dr. Beach is here can verify there's more than one time we had to call the police in our church for the school when we would have a child say to some of the teachers, my back hurts, I'm hurting. We check and find out the child has been abused physically. But you know something? You can not only physically, you can abuse a child emotionally by not having the balance that is needed for that child. I know some emotionally disturbed, abused children because they were disciplined and not loved, or they were loved and not disciplined. So as he sacrifices for the sheep or for the family, he handles the sheep with love, H, and E, he encircles the sheep with his presence. He encircles the sheep with his presence. Look there at verse 4 and 5. Back up. Verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, notice there are three thoughts in verse 4 and 5. Number one, he leads them. Get this. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, Gary, he leads them. Listen, a real father never allows his children to go to a place he hasn't already checked out. That makes sense? I would never want my children to go to a home of some friend that I hadn't already checked out. By the way, listen, get this. But they're saved. Hello? That's not all. What are their standards? Are they complementing what I'm trying to influence and engraved in the hearts and mind of my children? And I can tell you right now, there have been more Christian families led astray by other Christian families because the family did not check out and find out. Listen, if they're letting their children listen to the wrong music, listen to the wrong, see the wrong videos, whatever, listen, I don't need that. I need to check out. Oh, but they're part of the church. Hello? Wake up. He leads them. He checks out. He says he goes before them. And take that literally. He goes before they get there. He's already been there. He's already checked it out. He leads them. Not only that, they listen to him. Look there in verse 4 again. He not only leads them, but they listen to him. And look at verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. There it is. He leads them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Remember that advertising? When E.F. Hutton speaks what? Everybody listens. And when Dad speaks, the children listen. You know what? I see in that text, he not only leads, listens, they listen, but they look to him. Look there again in verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow. Now underline that. Take that literally. You know our problem is we got too many strangers in the home. They hardly know their children. They're too busy with their jobs. They're too busy with their careers. They're too busy filling the blank. And by the way, I've seen the same with preachers. Lose their children. Too busy. And I suggest to you tonight that you take time. And I am so tired. Years ago, I remember a well-known preacher saying it's not the quality, it's the quantity. Quality, but not the quantity, right? Right. And just so I spend some time, it's quality and quantity. It's both. And that father, by the way, lost all his children. That well-known pastor. I share with you tonight, be careful. Because far in too many homes, far too many fathers are literally strangers to their children. They don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. And so he encircles the sheep with his presence. He's there. When they need him, he's there. He leads them. They listen to him and they look to him. For a stranger they will not look to. And by the way, if the father is a stranger, they're going to go try to find out the answers to their questions someplace else. I don't know how many times in my career as a pastor in the 44 years I've had young people come to me and I said, well, listen, have you talked to us over with your dad? And they look at me like, no way, Jose. Nor do I plan on it. He won't listen to me anyway. We need to learn to listen. I got a good family. They're a good family. But I remember when Pat tells a story. Bob had come home from work, and he said, hi, honey, how's it going? She said, oh, I just killed my mother-in-law and buried her in the backyard. He said, well, good, I'm glad things went well today. He hadn't heard a word she said. Oh, you know what? By the way, how many have ever been in this spot? I've been there. Your children wait till you get real busy. Then they ask you something that they think you're not thinking about so they can get your approval of what they want to do. And then later on you say, I didn't tell you can do that. Yes, you did. You know what I'm talking about? I've been there. They are little Al Capones. They know just exactly how to work that. I made a habit of telling my children, I said, look, let me think about that. Well, I need to know now. Then the answer is no. You know what I'm talking about? Or here's another. I remember when my son, who went through a stage of rebellion when he was 15 for about 5 or 6 months. Matter of fact, I wanted to ship him overseas to anybody who would take him. God got a hold of his heart, and I was thankful for that. But he would say, why can't I do that? How many been there? How many been there? You know what I told him? I finally, after several times, I said, son, we don't cuss in our home. He said, I'm not cussing. I said, oh, I forgot to tell you, the word why now is a cuss word in our home. You know, I said that because he wasn't really looking for an answer. He was looking for an argument. Do you ever notice also children will work their parents? They'll go to one, try to pit the one against the other. You ever been there? Yeah. Marilyn will say, what did you tell him? And then I can't remember what I told him because I wasn't listening. Well, we've all been there. If you've already raised, disciplined, trained your children, you know what I'm talking about. Encircle the sheep with his presence. He not only sacrifices for the sheep, handles the sheep with love, H. E, encircles the sheep with his presence, but P, he perceives danger. He perceives danger. Look there in verse 6 to 9. Back up again. Then this parable spoke Jesus to them, but they understood him not what things were when he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Underline the words, I am the door of the sheep. Now, what the shepherd would do would put them in an enclosure at night, and what he would do would, what? You know what he would do? He would lay in front of where they would come in and out. You know what? He was saying, if an animal is going to get to my sheep, they're going to have to go through me. Mark that down, because you ought to say, Father, if the devil's going to get my kids, they're going to have to go through me to get them. That's the point here. The point of it is, he perceives that danger. You're going to have to climb up some way. They're going to have to understand. He is the door of protection. He literally says in that passage there, the idea is, I lay down. Listen, they're going to have to walk over me to get to my kids. Now, it's interesting. We do that physically. We say, somebody come in, break into my home, try to kill my kids, take my kids, they're going to have to go through me. Amen? But what about the devil? What about the throng things that come into our home, and music and movies and other things? What? How about those things that come in? Try to steal the affections of our children. He is the door of protection, and secondly, he is the detector of evil. Look at verse 8. Then said Jesus to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 8, pardon me, all that ever come before me are what? Thieves and robbers. He is the door, but he also is the detector. He says, thieves and robbers. He said, I'm there to make sure they don't come in and steal my family. Keep in mind, our families are bombarded. By the way, let me say this to you. I don't know if this is going to come out right or not. If you can at all avoid government schools, do it. Somebody say amen or oh my. Because their philosophy is those children do not belong to you. And all the teaching they're going to get in those schools. I thought what about public school? They are government schools. And their goal is to keep God out of the teaching of that school. But their philosophy is the child does not belong to you. Doesn't belong to God either. So I say, Christian schools, home schools, do what you can, understanding the problems that we have today. I remember when our son was in the seventh grade, we had our first church. This is 40-something years ago, and we were in a public school. It was a little town, and homeschool really hadn't really blossomed that much back in those days. And I remember Tim came home, and he said, Dad, he said, my teacher today really believes in evolution. I said, honey, to my wife, we got to get out of here. We got to find a Christian school, something, because I don't want that guy. Because my son was looking up to him. Hello? And all of a sudden, I could see he was becoming one of my son's teachers. He was a thief and a robber in disguise. God sent us to Northside, to Santa Maria, First Baptist Church. And then later on, of course, all kids all went able then to have a Christian education. Praise the Lord. And you folks who are sacrificing with homeschool or Christian, thank the Lord for it. It's worth the investment. Because he is the thieves and robber. He is not only the door of protection, the detector of evil, but he is the deliverer from wrong choices. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8 again. All that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. You know why they don't hear them? Because they hear the shepherd. What voice is the strongest voice that your children are hearing? I hope, Dad, it's your voice. because he can deliver them from that. He sacrifices for the sheep. He handles the sheep with love. He encircles the sheep with his presence. He perceives the danger. He as a head, he's the head that determines the spiritual welfare of the family. He is the H head that determines the spiritual welfare of the family. Look at verse 9. I am the door. There he is again. I'm the door. And he says two things in this verse. He keeps the family safe, and he keeps the family thinking spiritually. Two thoughts in that verse. He said, I am the door by me. If any man shall go in, he shall be saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The word save here, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad our children are saved, know the Lord. You know, we still need to save them from other things. I believe that's the idea here, to save them from the things that are going to harm them. He keeps the family safe. I said it this morning, do not complain about what you allow. If you permit it, don't complain about it. Our job, fathers, is to keep those children safe from the things that are going to destroy them. And secondly, he keeps the family thinking spiritually. Notice the phrase goes in and out. In and out. You know what freedom is? You know what freedom is? Freedom is not the right to do what we want, but it is the power to do what we ought to do. That's freedom. They can go in and out. You know, that I get the idea behind that real freedom. They can come in and they come out. You know why? Because he knows that Father is there to protect him. Years ago, I read an article about they were going to try a preschool experiment when the children would go out in the playground. You know, at our playground there, we have some fence across there, don't we, for the children. So the children don't get out into where the cars come. And so they decided in this one preschool, they decided, listen, we're going to take down the fence. After all, these children need to be free to do what they want. Here was the fence line, and the children, I could see them now coming up to the fence and waving at. Did you ever have to see them do that? Do that? And after the fence came down, guess what the children, they were so scared they stayed way back. They needed that security. They needed that safeguard, and that's when they were free. Is when they, listen, freedom is having rules and regulations. So they know how far they can go and how far they can't go. Amen? They're top principles. E, he examines the sheep with a rod. What do I mean by that? Look at verse chapter 10, verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Notice the phrase he cared. Now he talks about one who really doesn't care for the sheep. You remember that Psalm 23? Remember that? What a great psalm it is. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. Those two instruments. And he, you know what the rod was for? Rod had two purposes. I think the rod is a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit. He would use that rod, number one, to protect the sheep from any invasion. He got to where the place he could take that rod and he could sling that and hit an animal and just hit it in the head and kill it, just like it going after a sheep. In a sense, the Holy Spirit does that. He is able to give the Father that information. Listen, but also that shepherd would take that. This is really a point I want to get. He would part the wool at different places to see if there was any scab or any sore on the sheep, because if he knew if there was a sore, it would get infected. Let me say to you today, fathers, through the Holy Spirit, you are the detector to see if there's any infection in your home. Because that infection will spread and can kill your children's spirituality. I am tired of walking in homes where I heard one grandfather say, son, turn that music down. the wrong kind of music. How about turning it off? How about taking a hand grenade and blowing up the player, whatever it takes? It's a little drastic, isn't it? Yeah. But when our children are allowed to do things that are wrong, we need to detect that. He examines the sheep with the rod, and he retrieves a wayward sheep. That's what the staff's all about. The staff, I believe, is a picture of the Holy Scriptures. You have the rod, the Holy Spirit. You have the staff, the Holy Scriptures. You know what the purpose of the Scriptures is? To pull the children back in line. And that's what the dad is to use. He is to use the Holy Scriptures to pull the child back in line. So he retrieves a wayward child. Finally, D, he is devoted to the sheep. Look there. I am the good shepherd, verse 14. Excuse me, I want to back up one. Verse 10, I'm sorry. Look at verse 10. Then the thief cometh up but to steal, to kill, destroy, but I am come that they might have life. And they might have it what? You know, it's great to have your children saved, isn't it? That's the above life. But the abundant life is equally important. You know what the abundant life is? Is that life living for the Lord. He's devoted to his family. The next one, the last one, is the sanctuary. And I'm not going to say a great deal about that. I wanted to spend more time on the shepherd, but you have a mission in your home. You are to sacrifice for the sheep. You are to handle the sheep with love. You are to encircle the sheep with your presence. You are to perceive the danger. You are to, as head, determine the spiritual welfare of your family. You are to examine the sheep with the rod. You are to use the Holy Spirit of God in your life and do that. You are to retrieve a wayward sheep through the Word of God. You are to be devoted to the sheep. But now sanctuary as we close. As such, he is a minister for the home. You know, the home ought to be a place that when your children have questions, they can run to and get the answers. And if you don't, they'll go someplace else. You have the answers through the Word of God. You have the answers. As I said, there are three offices that our Lord had, and there are three offices that every father has. Prophet, priest, and king. Think with me for just a quick moment. A prophet. What is a prophet? Now, when I think of a prophet, first of all, he speaks with authority. Amen? A prophet spoke with authority. You listen when a prophet spoke. He also, in this case, an Old Testament prophet could foretell the future, but he doesn't foretell it, but he discerns. He's able to look ahead and say, listen, if my child keeps going the way they're going, they're going to be headed the wrong direction. I remember my first church, the name is Ken Wells. Ken was a good friend, and I really loved Ken. I led him to the Lord. I led his wife to the Lord. And you talk about a guy he's about 6'7". He's tall, big guy. And he was like a little kid when it come to drinking in the Word of God. And he had three children. And I remember he came to me one day and he said, I think I might have shared this. He said, I like to auto race. I was kidding him. I said, I do too. Ask the police department. He said, but I'm going to do this. He said, so I'm going to have to miss Sunday school. I said, Ken, be careful. Oh, no, he said, that's it, just Sunday school. He came to me later and said, boy, you know, I don't get home 3 or 5, 4 or 5 in the morning. I'm just going to have to miss the morning service. But I'll be there Sunday night. And after a while, Sunday night was gone, Wednesday night was gone. Remember that fatal time, though, I went to his door and knocked on. God just told me, I just felt led to say to him, Ken, if you don't get right with the Lord, you're going to lose your children. I don't do that very often. He lost all three of his children to drugs and immorality. He told his wife later, who told someone, who told me after I had pastored and left the church, I'd moved to Santa Maria. He said, "Preacher tried to warn me to look into the future and see the result." So he was not acting as a prophet. But I could tell from Scripture, look into the future, and I could predict what his children were going to be like. Prophet, priest. Now, what's a priest? By the way, what is a priest? He is a bridge builder. He is the one who connects his children with God. He's the first one to make that impression on them. He and his wife and a family unit. He's a bridge builder. He makes that, he begins. By the way, your children, you know, the first thing they're going to need to know about God has got to be from the family. Hello? Right there. And they need to look up to Dad, like I say this within the right context, almost like he's God. Boy, he's got the answers. He knows he's, and then he's king. He takes charge. He makes the necessary, listen, he takes charge. He makes the necessary changes so his family will not wear the chains of regret. Now, if you think about that, there are three men in the Bible that I'll not turn in the all the passages, but when I think of a prophet, I think of Samuel. But turn with me to 1 Samuel for just a moment. Samuel was really a godly man. Amen. Remember Samuel? But look at chapter 8. It came to pass, verse 1, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. He names the children in verse 2, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside into lucre and took bribes and perverted judgments. And what did Israel say? You know, we need to replace these boys with a king. You know, I have found that when we sin, we don't sin alone. We affect other people. And when Samuel's boys became anything but what they should have been, it affected the whole nation. Now they said, we're not going to follow you, your sons that you didn't train properly. Think with me, secondly, how about the priest? I talked about him this morning. What about Eli? What did Eli do? As you know, he had two boys that God just took their lives. How about David, the king? Turn with me to 1 Kings. Turn there with chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. This I want you to read. Look at verse 6 of 1 Kings 1. And his father had, referring to Adonijah, at verse 3, at verse 5, verse 6 said, his father had not displeased him at any time. Those are some tough words I find in the Bible. We find that Samuel failed, he was a prophet, as a father, to be a prophet in his home. We know that Eli failed as a priest in the home. We know that David failed as a king in his home. Let's not fail as prophet, priests, kings in our home.